Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone back to Breaking It Down. This is Frank McKay. And my special guest, if you're just joining us, is guitarist, virtuoso guitarist, just a wonderful player, but not too pretentious to play pop music. And you've heard his work with Michael Jackson, Justin Timberlake, and a whole bunch of other folks. But don't forget about his own project. Greg Howe is our guitarist. Welcome back, Greg. Tell us about Marigold.
Well, I will. I actually want to touch on something that you had mentioned before, just to put clarity, because I thought you really brought up a really good point, which was the sort of pretentious thing that can happen sometimes when guys become, you know, virtuosos, or they start to become, you know, involved in more sophisticated music. I've never seen music that way. I'm not, for me, music is just like when people ask me, what kind of movies do you like? It's a strange question, because it's like, do you like action movies? Yeah. If it's a good movie. Do you like dramas? Yeah. If it's a good movie. So for me, it's not really ever about genre or style. It's always just about quality. And I can be just as into a punk rock band if they're really bringing it with their heart and soul as I can listening to some Philharmonic thing or some, you know, some Chick Corea sounding thing. So it doesn't matter to me. I don't try to get on stage and play for musicians. I try to get on stage and make people feel good. You know, that's really what I'm trying to do. So it really has, when I go to these clubs like the Baked Potato and I see these amazing musicians, I will admit that sometimes I recognize a little bit of what feels like a snobby, I'm too good to actually have to be a performer. I don't have to dress a certain way. I don't have to, you know, I'm so good that I can stand here in my flannel shirt and my Mack truck hat and just be amazing. Because I know exactly what you're saying.
I think it's a great attitude to go into. But you can kind of fit in both categories. I mean, you get that this is a business and you have to make a living with it, and you enjoy making a living. I mean, you weren't slumming by playing with Michael Jackson, because you're not shredding everything you. But there are some solos in there. Did you play the Beat It solo every time?
Sure. Yeah, that was a big thing for him. I mean, for Michael, that it was kind of like,
did they extend it at all?
No, they didn't. The crazy part about the solo the Beat It solo was that if you look at some videos of me performing with him, I had to wear this blonde haired wig which was actually loaded with fiber optic lights that lit up the whole stadium during the Beat It solo, and it was powered by this very thick, probably 4-inch diameter size fiber optic cable that they had to feed up up the back of my shirt. And whenever I'd go out and do anything choreography wise, they'd have to feed this gigantic cable and then sort of reel it back in when I'm coming back to my post. So the difficulty or the challenge of the Beat It solo live was that I had to be moving with Michael Jackson while I'm playing it. And I had to be sort of aware of this gigantic fiber optic cable that's hooked up to me. So
it's surreal, yeah. In a way. I mean, it's before we get into Marigold, let me just have a follow-up on this. By the way, I'm going to remind people once again, if they're just tuning in, that this is Frank McKay and guitarist extraordinaire Greg Howe, who played with Michael Jackson, Justin Timberlake. His solo work is just incredible, and we're talking about quite a bit about his work with Michael Jackson. Let me ask about stamina. There was much more movement going on than I assume, right? That there's with all the choreography and the jumping around and the, I shouldn't call it jumping around, but the movement with the Michael Jackson. Did you need an adjustment period to get in shape, so to speak?
Not really. I don't know why. I've always been, I was sort of an athlete in school, and I've always, I don't know. I've always had,
it wasn't physically challenging. I guess that's what I'm asking.
No,
it wasn't.
It wasn't physically challenging. No, I'm not super coordinated. So the challenge is really to try to look as eloquent as possible.
Yeah. But you're not a dancer, so to speak.
I'm a guitarist. So, you know,
right.
They almost never go hand in hand.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Marigold now. What can you tell us about the project and who else is involved?
The project involves singer extraordinaire, a girl by the name of Megan Krause, who the bass player in my band, Kevin Vecchione, had discovered. And it was a project that we put together that I had wanted to do for a long period of time. And only because when I started off in this business, I started off as a guy that wanted to just be on stage and make music and make people feel good and rock out and have a good time. Part of what led to my instrumental realm, particularly throughout the 90s, was the fact that there wasn't a whole lot of room for what I was doing on the guitar anymore, unless I got into something that wasn't rock. Because if you remember, once the Seattle craze started, it was almost an anti-guitar solo era. To some degree lingers a bit. And so it was very hard to find a place for me to work within the context of a rock or more mainstream musical scenario and still be able to, you know, deliver some kind of cool guitar. You know, I don't like the idea of sitting in a bedroom for 10 hours a day just to come out on stage and not use any of that stuff. So I was looking for an opportunity to be able to make some money and be able to, you know, utilize my skills. And so that's really where the instrumental stuff came from. When I talked to my record label, they said, well, you know, how about if you just start doing some albums for me? And at that point, also, because of so many of the amazing guitarists that came from the post-Van Halen, post-Yngwie Malmsteen thing, I was also finding it hard to figure out ways to push the envelope of guitar technique. So for me, my expansion became more about music and becoming a little more sophisticated with compositions than it did about pushing the envelope of, you know, one more octave arpeggio more than I did last year. You know what I mean? I wanted to expand musically as opposed to technically. And luckily, to some degree, they go hand in hand. But it is interesting for me, even to this day, that I'm viewed by most as a guy who is primarily a fusion guitarist, when in reality, that almost happened by accident. It was not what I set forth to do. I set forth to be in a much more mainstream situation and to sort of inadvertently ended up there. I have no regrets about it, and I think it was great, and I am still there, and I still intend to do other instrumental albums and continue.
I think that helps you, to be honest with you. That helps you, you know, stay a little closer to the planet Earth.
Absolutely.
There is a chance that you can get off into the stratosphere when you do that. And again, right. not to single out any guitarists, but you've seen it happen. And
yes.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to ask you about criticism. And we all get it. Everybody gets it. And I don't know any specific that you would get, but is it a challenging? And again, I'll use the word challenging. Is it challenging to deal with, you know, the cattiness of musicians? And I'm talking even, you know, snobby type musicians, where you sometimes think, look, if I do this, I'm going to hear hell for this. And I'm not talking about playing with Michael Jackson. Screw everybody, right? Who cares about that?
Sure.
You know, and Justin Timberlake and things like that. But on your solo work and on some of the other work that you do, is it challenging not to play to the critics?
It is less challenging today than it used to be. But I do understand that challenge. It's a legitimate challenge. And this is why, in my opinion, I do have an obligation in my own mind to reach as many people as I possibly can. And so when people say things like, so-and-so is a real artist because they never compromise. So-and-so is a real artist, they never compromise. But okay, this person never compromises, but this person is always playing in front of 30 people somewhere.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, as long as they're happy with that, as long as they're cool with that, then that's great. But if they're going to turn around and complain that nobody likes their music, and yet they're unwilling to make an adjustment and try to find some overlap where, in my opinion, there's always a place where you can be satisfied with yourself and also be satisfied in knowing that you're reaching a lot of people. You know, so if you picture two circles and one is what I like and the other circle is what everybody else likes, and then you bring those circles together and see where they overlap. I try to operate from within that framework. And so these days, I don't pay attention much to what people say. There's always going to be someone who doesn't like what you're doing. I mean, so no matter what I do, I see it all the time. I really think you should get back to your fusion, Greg. Extraction was great. Or I hear people say, I love the rock thing that you did with your brother back in the day with How To. I really wish you would return to that. Everybody has their own opinion, you know, so I have to eventually just say to myself, I have to do what feels right for me, and then hope that that people like it. That's all I can do. I can't be at the mercy of critics, or else I'm not really in command of my own career, you know.
If you're just tuning in, once again, this is Frank McKay, and I'm reminding you that our very special guest is someone who I feel has hit that perfect balance between musicianship and listenability, right? How's that for a term? You know, something that the average person, and that sounds demeaning, something that the mainstream could appreciate. And I think you've always hit that balance, and you're a virtuoso. There's no question about it. And Greg Howe is that guest of mine, and I urge you all to check out his work. It's been tremendous. What did you do with Justin Timberlake?
Well, I met Justin when I had the gig with NSYNC for a while.
Right, that's
so
right.
I did a stadium tour with them, and then I did another arena tour with them, and that was a lot of fun. Great people on the tour.
Did the Michael Jackson gig ultimately lead to that, do you think? Did it have a lot of influence?
I think it definitely helped get those other gigs, yeah. Because in the industry, as I'm sure you know, as it is in many industries, a lot of it is based on credibility and resume and really who you know. So it becomes important to have those kinds of things, because when there's a music director who has a choice between saying, I have this guitar player who's really good, or I could choose this other guitar player to join this band, and he used to play with Michael Jackson, sometimes they have more credibility when they can say they put a band together with somebody who's done high-profile things.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly. That's
right.
No question about it. And when you start adding those credits are a huge thing. But go ahead, you were gonna mention something else about NSYNC. How many shows did you end up ultimately playing with them?
Oh, I mean, the one tour we did was like 8 months, and it was a minimum of 3 shows a week. So who knows what that adds up to? My math is, it's too early still in the morning for me to do that math. But
yeah, well, hey, go back to, just for a moment, if we can go back to the Michael Jackson situation. How much of the circus, so to speak, did you experience? And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about the paparazzi, the fan craziness, the media, you know, beyond the paparazzi. How much of that did you get to experience, and how much of it was basically based around him, and you guys had your separate life?
Well, Michael was pretty excluded. He was pretty private, and he had his own sort of small posse of people that he hung out with. We didn't see him much, but it didn't mean that we weren't very much affected by you know, the attention that he brings. Because I mean, honestly, there were numerous times that we would show up at a hotel and it would just be surrounded by usually young teenage girls that are just everywhere. And then you walk in the lobby and they're everywhere, and everybody wants, if they can't get a piece of Michael, then they want to get a piece of the band, and they want to get your autograph, and they want to know what you're doing, and are you affiliated with the band? So we would get a lot of the spillover from the Michael Jackson craze. And I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I've never seen anything like Michael Jackson. NSYNC was huge when I was with them, and they also had a big, you know, there was a big element of that, but nothing like Michael Jackson, which was really overwhelming. It was, I mean, there were nights sometimes that even high-end prestigious hotels, which was normally where we stayed, where it was hard to get to sleep because there was so much noise outside with the crowd surrounding the hotel all night long, just in hopes of getting a glimpse of him.
At this point, I can't think of anyone that would be the equivalent to Michael Jackson.
Yeah, me either.
I can't imagine duplicating that somewhere. NSYNC, and again, I hate to group all of them together, but boy bands, you know what's going to be there. It's going to be the mini Beatlemania, and that's not to, you know, put them down. I mean, they have tremendous fans. But I would imagine that a lot of their fans, and again, this is by no means to disparage teenage girls. I mean, I got teenagers myself, right? So I don't want to disparage them by saying that. But many of them may not know who Greg Howe is, and
of course,
yeah. And many of them, even the Michael Jackson fans, if they maybe they were a little more in tune to who you guys were, maybe they say, oh, there's the guitarist, or this is, or it spreads. Is it more like that, where somebody would say, hey, you know what, that's Michael Jackson's guitarist over there, and all of a sudden you'd get flooded with something? Was it more like that, or did people have the knowledge that, hey, Greg Howe is Michael Jackson's guitarist filling in for Jennifer Batten? Was it like that, or was it more it would be leaked, sort of?
It was less like that with Michael. It was more like that when I was with, say, Enrique Iglesias, where a lot of times I'd be in Europe, and we did a tour in Europe that was pretty extensive. But by that time, it was the year 2000, and I had already built up more of a reputation than I had in 96. So in 96, first of all, I was with Michael Jackson, really, you know, half his band is celebrities. He's got Jonathan Moffitt on drums. He's got David Williams on guitar. He had some great players in that band, some of whom were well known. But Michael's so big that everything is overshadowed by him. I mean, really, honestly, nobody cares who else is on that stage. But with Enrique, I did notice that, where a lot of times we pull into a city, and then guitar magazines want to come out and do an interview with me, and or some online situation, or some media outlet wants to meet with me. So there was a little bit more of an acknowledgement of my having built up some level of notoriety with the later boy band situations that I was in, but not really, not so much with Michael.
Again, Frank McKay here with Greg Howe, guitarist extraordinaire, an absolute virtuoso on his instrument, and he is and not too big to scale it back and do some commercial work and certainly pay the bills, and those things pay very well. Situations, I'm certain. And Greg Howe again is our very special guest. I'm always interested in a guy like yourself, and again, you're a virtuoso, nobody's going to disagree with that. I'm always interested in prep with you. Now, mm-hmm. you went through the situation with a Michael Jackson, but let's say there was another, Lady Gaga. I don't know if you've ever played with it, but let's say all of a sudden they said, look, here's a gig for you, and you gotta fill in for Lady Gaga. There's 2 hours worth of material. What do you think it would take you to be prepped for something like that? Someone in your category, how would you prep for something like that, and how long would it take?
Generally speaking, I've worked at the main music director I've worked with all these gigs, with the exception of Michael, is a guy named Kevin Antunes, who has been the MD for pretty much every recent popular act. He was the MD. He's currently the MD for Madonna. He did Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Justin Timberlake's first tour, Enrique Iglesias. I mean, he's done so many of these. So generally what happens is he'll call me and ask me if I want the gig. And then depending on my schedule, my goals at the time, and my availability, I will either commit or not commit. And if I do commit, usually what happens is he has access to all of the individual tracks of all the songs. And what music directors often do is they will modify these things. They'll modify the songs for a live performance. And sometimes drastically modify them. So he'll usually get something together for me to listen to that with very explicit instructions on what he's looking for in terms of my role as the guitarist. And occasionally it will involve, at this point, I want you to improvise. At this point, do your own thing. But for this point, here's the guitar parts. Here they are off the record. Listen to these parts. These are exactly, I want this sound. I want this feel. I want you to play what was on the record. And if you're not sure what that is, here's the isolated track. So usually it's pretty clear.
Greg Howe has been our very special guest. Greg, thank you very much for being here. Guitarist extraordinaire. Greg Howe, thank you once again.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Greg, give one more, if you're still there, just give the website one more time.
Just greghowe.com. And from there, you can access all of my social media. I encourage everybody to come along and follow and keep informed about what I'm doing, because I'm doing a lot of stuff. I've got an instructional video coming out. I've got a new album coming out. So, yeah.
Virtuoso guitarist Greg Howe. Greg, thank you again.
Thank you very much.
And I want to thank everyone for tuning in. This is Frank McKay. We will see you next time on Breaking It Down.